Yeah, I'm Rob McCorkindale. I play drums and percussion.
And is there a big difference between drums and percussion?
I think there is, actually. On our record...
Are drums percussive?
They are.
This is not on my question list. Are you percussive?
Sometimes.
Yay.
Yeah, my name is Dan Aid. I play guitars.
My name is Ross Flournoy, and I play guitar and sing.
Brian Whelan, bass.
There is a missing member of the band. Yes. The cute one.
Yeah, right. Dorise Bailey, and she plays keys, but she's not here today.
Because there were no keys in the session.
Yeah.
So you decided to make it a man's world.
Yeah.
This band is just over 2 years old, but all of you have been in other bands before, right?
Right.
So in order of appearance, can we have a little revisionist history, and then we'll let somebody take over about how this band came to be?
Well, I actually, one of the co-writers on Down in the Valley, which is one of the singles coming off the record, I played with him, who's Scott Clausen, and Ross Flournoy here in San Francisco about 5 years ago. And then over time, we kept talking. And then when I moved to Los Angeles with Brittany Shane from San Francisco, we started a band called The Broke Down, which is now The Broken West.
But L.A., we just literally 2 weeks ago had your friends the Mezzanine Owls in here.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And who played with, I think you've played with them more than once, I suspect, and they call Echo Park their home. Now, you're a hybrid of Echo Park and Silver Lake. But yet, I've kind of heard here, when I moved to L.A., but yet you're an L.A. band. So how much are we cheating here?
Well, that's a good question. No one who lives in L.A. is from L.A., so it's kind of disingenuous to anyone for anyone to claim that they're more L.A. than someone else. And so, you know, yeah, we all moved there, but we all live there and, you know.
And formed there, so you're an L.A. band.
Exactly, we're an L.A. band.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you have absorbed some of the L.A. vibe and sound.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever the hell that means.
Yeah.
Last night was the beginning of the big tour behind the full-length album, so that was the first night of your tour.
Yeah.
Pretty exciting.
It was awesome.
Silence in the room.
Yeah, it was great. I mean, we couldn't have asked for a better way to start it off because there was a great crowd and they seemed very nice and we sold a lot of merchandise. So,
but you've toured pretty extensively behind the EP, which I never got and never heard. So you were all new to me when the record showed up. And I guess that's the good news is that the CD just showed up, you know, among, you know, 50 CDs on a Monday in a package. And I put it in and I heard it and I said, okay, this is what I do. This is cool. It works. But who funded, you toured a lot behind this EP, but there was no record deal back then, am I correct?
That's correct.
Yeah.
Who funded this?
We did. We've paid for everything. I mean, we all work, well, up until this.
You've all worked day jobs.
We all were working day jobs. Now we're not, but we all worked day jobs, and we all were basically doing that, I mean, you know, to finance this band. And so, you know, we used that to go touring, and then we use that money to make this record that just came out. So, I mean, everything we've done on our own.
Are the day jobs interesting enough for me to ask? Or
No.
Not really.
They're just over.
Yeah, they're over. That's the interesting
part.
Forget
about them.
Yeah.
Are they over?
Yep.
Cool.
Yep.
A majority of the audience will have heard one or two songs before, but not most of them this early in the tour, because we're sitting here, and even when this interview runs a week or so from now, the album's been out since, what, January 21st or something like that?
Yeah.
So very different than playing in L.A., where you've probably built a pretty solid fan base that shows up to see you every time.
Yeah.
So tell me about that. What's that going to be, venturing out into the wilderness?
I think it's actually really exciting for us because, like you mentioned, I mean, we've played in L.A. so much that that's become, you know, we know the crowd. And so being able to go out and play in front of entirely new people every night is like the biggest dream. You know, it's like so exciting for us. So, you know.
Well, you'll get a real reaction.
Yeah, exactly.
We love you.
Yeah,
sure.
Exactly.
Which is kind of cool.
Dan, tell him what you were telling me last night about what Neil Young said in that book.
Oh, about...
Can you do a good Neil Young imitation?
No, I can't.
I think that...
Oh, no, he just said in his biography, he says that when you play your hometown to all your friends, they have all these preconceptions of like... perceptions of like what you're going to be, that, you know, they've already seen you before. But when you go to a different town, they sort of have open ears and they really listen and, you know, don't know what to expect. So it's kind of exciting.
That's much more exciting. I thought you were going to say, down by the river, I killed my baby. I thought that's all I was going to get there. You know, book of Neil Young, just little malaprop. Actually, Neil Young malapropisms. This is something that could really be big. How did you end up on Merge? They have a pretty interesting lineup of artists. There's a pretty interesting mix in that label, and it's kind of indie enough to be cool, but big enough to get you attention.
We got hooked up with Merge through two different things. Dan got a CD basically through the channels of three or four people, friend of a friend, and it got into their hands from someone that they kind of trust, their realtor actually. And so they gave it a listen, because I think I would imagine they said that they get, you know, a lot of demos and things
unsolicited
like that. But if they get one from someone that they know, and you know, they'll listen to it. So they gave it a listen, and we ended up, is actually predates me being in the band, but we opened for them when they came to LA, Max band, Portastatic. And so they listened to it and liked it, and then when they came out to LA, we opened and kind of established a relationship with Mac and kind of kept him posted as we were making the record.
But that's interesting that you delivered the record to them.
Right.
I love this quote, which I don't remember where it's from. So here we go into the deep, dark depths. We're a real band with real record coming out, so we don't have a lot of time for frivolous lawsuits with wayward Nazi youth punk. Sensitive topic,
yeah,
to be sure.
I wrote that, yeah. That's, you know, regarding the band that... No, I don't know if they're Nazi youth, but I assume that they are, or something
similar. I heard, this is my way of getting into the name change. I figured I'd open with the quote because it's such a great... I heard there was something like 1,000 promo copies about to go out when you had to change the band name. Mm-hmm.
And some of them did actually, yeah, made it out with their old name.
I think when we signed to Merge, it was, I mean, there was some publicity around it. So, I mean, it was kind of, I think Merge did a press release saying, you know, we've signed this band. And so I think that's how.
And Nazi punk youth have the time to read press releases?
Well, I think they probably read, you know, something like, you know, Pitchfork or
bulletin board.
Yeah, actually, yeah. And this is the funniest thing. That the press release was actually, it was featured prominently by this punk website. And maybe
because you guys
thought,
are such a punk band.
Well, that's right. What I don't understand. So who knows how they found out about it. But we ended up getting a cease and desist letter from their label. And so.
Are they on a real label?
I don't even think I'd call it a real label, but they were real enough to send us a cease and desist letter. So
you immediately went to it and became the Broken West.
Yeah.
The word in your bio on your MySpace site, which is the same bio that's on Merge. So you guys are still early on and working on the website and all of that and
right. Catching
up. Two things you use, Jangle Rock and Power Pop. Are you okay with those labels?
Jangle Rock, yeah.
Yeah, we're okay with Jangle Rock. Probably not Power Pop.
We don't really like that term, but also I think that we probably all understand why it's been applied to us so much, because what we do is melodic. But I guess when I think of Power Pop, and I think this probably goes for all of us, we think of guys with skinny ties and, you know, playing like My
That's
Sharona.
What somebody said the other day. They were talking about, you know, we were talking about Elvis Costello and whether he was punk or new wave, and everybody decided he was more new wave than punk. It seems like the reviewers have all looked at the other reviews and then written exactly the same words, so somebody needs to write something new and different about them, which is why I purposely made sure I saw you live last night.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I told these guys a couple weeks ago when the reviews started coming out that you could literally... you could give a monkey a word processor that only had like the words jangle, harmony, kinks, and big star in it, and then the monkey could generate basically every review we've gotten. So
yeah,
I mean, no offense to the reviews we've gotten because they've been very nice, but and I'll say this, I think
they've said nice things, but yeah, they've said the
same things. Yeah. You know, I'll say this too. I think personally that I've realized now that this is our first sort of record that we've gotten pressed for. They could call us avant-garde noise rock, and I still wouldn't like it. I think the bottom line is none of us, I mean, and this is kind of a cliche, but none of us really likes labels. And I think every musician is ultimately going to reject whatever label you try to put on them. So.
And that's the first thing they do, you know. They didn't do it on yours, but, you know, they put a little white label on promo copies. And I still don't know what RIYL stands for. It's like,
I found out the other day.
What is RIYL? I keep asking.
I've always wanted to recommend it if you like.
It's recommended. You had a pretty good producer for this homebrewed album, so tell me more about the producer and what they added to the sound, or didn't add to the sound.
Yeah, that was us, and we're great producers. And no, I'm just joking. I'm being facetious. Dan, why don't you tell... Well, Robbie, why don't you tell them a little about the recording process.
So we recorded the record in West Los Angeles at Red Rockets Glare with Raymond Richards. He was our engineer on the project. And I think as far as on the production side, we all kind of took it upon ourselves to really pull as much as we could out of the sound and the instrumentation and the layers. And we actually you know, there were a couple songs that we made it pretty far down the road with that we actually scrapped, started over, that made it to the final cut of the record. So I think in the future we're excited to sort of work with some outside producers and see how that
this
goes.
This is produced, and I don't say this in a bad way, this is a produced record.
Mm-hmm.
This is not a indie sounding record. This is a slick record, which in my book is a good thing.
Yeah, I think all of us, but probably maybe especially Dan and I, are kind of recording geeks and nerds, and so we listen to, when we listen to music, a lot of the times it's not even just for the songs, it's for the production. And so in other words, we didn't just go in and say, well, let's just record this song and have it be done. It's like we went in and there were a lot of conscious decisions made aesthetically in terms of how different instruments were going to sound, how we were going to mix it. So, I mean, I think we all sort of enjoyed recording as much as we like playing live. So
lo-fi is not your moniker.
No, lo-fi is, I mean, there are some people that can get away with that, but a lot of times I think that's just lazy.
Yeah, I know. It's something to say, and yet you hear some pretty heavily crafted lo-fi records.
There are, actually, and funny you should mention that. Yesterday we were listening to, there are some people who do a really good job of it. This band, the Olivia Tremor Control, who were out of Athens, I think, in the mid-90s, and we were listening to their album yesterday called, I think it's from it's Dusk at the Cubist Castle, and I'm pretty sure those guys recorded that on an 8-track or some sort of like primitive tape machine, but it sounds really good, and they took a lot of time with it, so.
Did you were cuddling up. Did you have something to add to that?
No, I didn't.
That was kind of like a false, I'm about to say something.
Yeah. Yeah.
You got me excited, Brent.
I was just agreeing with you.
Agreeing is good. There are very few major cities, I looked at the tour list, that you're missing. You pick up the Walkman in New York, not bad company. You do South by Southwest, then you pick up the Long Winters along the way. And it'll be interesting for me because I'll see you again at South by Southwest because we'll be there in force. It'll be interesting to see by then you will have been knocked about a bit on your way back and forth to the East Coast. Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see the progression. But are you ready for this tour in terms of the joys and wonderfulness of
Robbie?
Traveling in the band, in the van, I should say. Or traveling in the band van? Van band?
I mean, this is what we've been working for all this time, and you know, we've done some touring on the East Coast, and I think the longest run we've had at this point has been about 2 weeks. But you know, going into it, I mean, we're all really close friends. We live really close together. We spend every day together. If we're not playing together, we're just hanging out and partying or
on Sunset
time
in bars.
On Sunset, walking the streets, picking up prostitutes.
Nice.
And
I know exactly. Right across from the Argyle, well, it used to be the Argyle, the Sunset Tower.
Yeah.
Now, if you go to the Riot House, you get a whole
right
different
too.
Form of hooker.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you go to the Riot House and hang out just in
the Sunset Tower, you get one kind of hooker, and the Riot House, you get another one. And then if you go further down, to you know, like the Motel 6 or something,
yeah,
that's where you really score.
Yeah, more variety, more yeah.
See, this is why it's good not to have your keys in the room, because she wouldn't have joined in quite on this.
Actually, she would. You'd be surprised.
Yeah, she's with you guys, I would imagine. Austin's kind of a second home, so South by Southwest is familiar territory, even though you didn't have a record deal back then, true?
Yeah, I lived in Austin for a couple years, and then we did play South by Southwest last year, and that's true, we did not have a label then, so... But we played a lot. I think we worked pretty hard when we were there. And actually, in the end, I mean, it's funny, Mac, you know, who owns Merge, and Laura, who also owns Merge, came out to one of those shows that we played. And in some ways, that sort of, I guess, helped sort of, you know, speed along the process of us signing to Merge. But I like Austin because I loved living there.
Someone in this band has gotten rich through winning karaoke championships. Would you please tell us what songs and how much money you've made?
You know,
you got to see the look on everybody's face in the room. We're all going to be serious about this.
Yeah, well, we've talked about it before, and it is rarely serious. But yeah, I mean, when I was, you know, quite a bit younger, 9, 10, 11, 12, I used to do these, you know, I did a lot of karaoke singing, which
was
kind of
LA?
It was more, you know, my parents were really into it, but I admit I was into it too at that age. And
I can hear it now.
This was in Seattle, actually, where I'm from. This was
the karaoke capital of America, I'm sure.
But I sang mostly Billy Joel songs.
Okay, that was my next question.
That was, yeah.
Okay, we need at least 3 bars of the one that made you the most money.
Are you serious?
Yeah, go for it.
Oh, that's horrible.
Go for it. Come on, man.
Some folks like to get away, take a holiday from the neighborhood. That's 3 bars.
And now we're all going to go to one and drink. Thank you for New York's. That was New York State of Mind, the Billy Joel song.
Yeah, these guys didn't even know that. But
no, but that was really good.
From Turnstiles. How much money did you make? I want everybody to be jealous and know that there is a career in this.
I got these savings bonds, and it was about $5,000 in savings bonds that by the time I was 18 or 19,
I'm in the wrong business.
And I went and got a car with it, which I still have.
Wow. The karaoke mobile.
Right. Yeah.
Is it karaoke? I've never been able. Yeah, I've got to start hanging with more Japanese people so we get it right. Is it karaoke?
Yeah, I must be singing a lot of karaoke. I mean, I always said karaoke, but I think I've heard.
But they say
I believe
karaoke.
I've heard both. Yeah, they say karaoke.
So, what percentage of the interview have we spent on this, and is it too much?
Is it ever enough? I don't think so.
So, what we do to fill out, we're going to do a little session, but a thing called a musical sandwich. It's 2 of your songs is the bread. And as many songs as you want to play by other bands in between.
Okay, Down in the Valley and So It Goes.
Row Jimmy by The Grateful Dead.
Neil Young by Teenage Fan Club.
Looking for the Magic by Dwight Twilley.
All the Working Girls Are Fine by the Prince Brothers. I don't think that's the actual title, but I think it's 7:30. It's the real title.
Anyway. Yep.
Elton John, anything off Tumbleweed Connection.
Would you like to pick one?
Yeah.
Country Comfort. Yeah, let's do that.
Cool.
Come On Baby, Let's Go Downtown by Neil Young and Crazy Horse.
Pushover by the Long Winters.
It's the third track off the new Sloan album.
Seems So by the Apples in Stereo. Every Grain of Sand by Bob Dylan.
The Stranger by Billy Joel.
Do you want The Stranger to go into a track by this your band?
Yeah, sure. seems fitting.
As Brian's contribution.
So is everybody voting on that?
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Thanks, guys.
Hey, thank you.